today we have the infant blessing service. So we will have infant blessing ceremony during the second worship service. So we don't have children during the first worship service, but we want to pray for them anyway. Let me pray. Lord, please bless these children and protect them. Please let your face shine on these children. And let the Lord turn his face towards you. Our Heavenly Lord, all blessings belongs to you, Lord. We, as adults and parents, want every child to be blessed. We want many blessings for our children. But we know you are the source of all blessings. So please bless each one of these children. Help them to know God, which is the most important blessing. Help them to enter the kingdom of God and help them to live a life that is happy. And let them experience the blessings that you give them. So, and parents and grandparents who are raising children, please bless those families as well. Let them worship the God together as families. Help them to protect them from accidents and sicknesses. But when they have experienced trouble, help them. Please help them out. So please walk with these families. Please help these children realize that they are loved by God. There are many blessings in this world, but not be controlled by secular blessings, but help them to know the real blessings that come from you. Thank you for all these lives of these children that you have given us. Please bless them. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let's learn from the Bible. We are looking at two passages from the Bible. First is Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 27, and Mark 10, verses 13 and 16. But let us first read Numbers 6, chapter 6, 22 through 27. Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turned his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will be put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Mark chapter 10, verses 13 and 16. People are bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on them and blessed them. By the way, today I have a translator, a Korean translator next to me, so you may hear a Korean translation, but the reason is that she's doing her translation in the translation booth today. This morning, we have the Infinite Blessing Service. So we would like to think about blessing children from the scriptures we have just read. Now we have the Bible at our hand. Why was the Bible written? Why has it been preserved? And why has it been translated into many languages around the world? And why has it become a bestseller? And why did it reach so many people? How is it that when nations fall, peoples perish, and even the languages in which they recorded words of God are forgotten, that Bible never dies out, but rather continues to be in the hands of even more and more people? The reason is that God wants to bless His people. The Bible is not merely a tool for the study of theology, nor is it a complicated textbook that teaches some complicated doctrine that is difficult to understand, but it is God's loving thought and love letter to mankind in which He wants us to be blessed and live in blessing at all costs. As I meditated on today's passage while focusing on the phrase, bless the children, it occurred to me our human parental love, which desires for our children to be walked in blessings, originated with God the Father who created mankind. God the Father, who created people in His own image, desires that each and every person born on this earth walk in blessing. And we, as parents and adults, are asked to pray and ask for that blessing in the name of the Lord God for infants. This means that God wants us to bless children and others through our prayers. We need to remember that everything that is described as a blessing is all connected to God. And once we remember that, we need to pass it on to the next generation. God asks us to recognize the source of blessings is God, and that praying for blessings in God's name is the basic premise of blessings. I would like to read again the words of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 20 through 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." In this passage, God was requesting the people of Israel to pray for blessings in the name of the Lord for all the next generation and children as well. Some churches encourage fathers to pray for the blessing of their children with this prayer of blessing from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Father ought to pray for their children. I don't think there are many parents who do not desire blessings for his or her children. Only question is whether that blessing is a blessing that we seek from God, or whether it is a blessing that the world teaches. That's the question. Whether the blessing is a blessing that we seek from God, or whether it is a blessing that the world teaches. But if we pray sincerely, we will find out. By praying, we will be shown whether we consider a connection with God to be a blessing or whether we are asking God to give us something else that we consider to be a blessing. The first thing we adults and parents can learn from this prayer of blessing is that the blessing of children is accomplished through our prayer to God. And a byproduct of this is that through praying for blessing of children, the adults and parents who are praying are shown what they themselves consider to be a blessing in their lives. I have heard the testimony of a pastor of a church who is an alumnus of the United Theological Seminary in Korea, where I graduated. What is happening at this pastor's church is that in Korea, many mothers with children are gathering. Which is an interesting phenomenon. As sometimes reported in the Japanese news, university entrance examinations in Korea are truly an examination war, more intense than those in Japan. Mothers of high school students preparing for entrance exams are anxious, and actually more anxious than their children who are taking the exams. So they have started to come to church to pray for their children's success in the entrance exams. But the pastor of this church in Korea, seeing this situation, was a little concerned. Well, I guess it's all right to pray for them, but it may be inappropriate for them to just come to church just to pray for an entrance exam. And that's what the pastor thought. But he had a wait-and-see attitude to see how this turns out. Then more mothers who were also worried about their children's entrance exams came to church and prayed earnestly for their children's success. The mothers shared their worries and anxieties with each other and prayed earnestly to God for their children's success in the examination. Somehow, interestingly, the mothers' prayers began to change. As they earnestly prayed to God for their children's success in college, they began to wonder, will it really be a blessing for my child if this prayer is answered? Is that all there is to it? Does God want me to pray this prayer? Is this really the prayer that is meant for my child? So, by praying, these mothers were led to examine the content of their prayer, and their prayers eventually changed. The mothers who had been praying for their children's success were touched by God and transformed. And the pastor eventually repented of the easy way he had been judging them in his heart, almost like a Pharisee judging others. When the mother were praying for the blessings that they envisioned, they started praying, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." They realized that the true blessing for their children was to teach them about God. The church then began to advertise, anyone is free to come and pray for their children's examinations. And as mothers who had similar experiences helped new mothers who came, as a result, many people encountered God, met Jesus in their hearts, and were saved. I thought, wow, this is interesting. Whatever it is, we should pray to God. We should pray fervently. Then the God of the Bible is merciful and compassionate. He's not a person who cannot sympathize with our weakness and pain. So he will lead us to blessing. So whether it is a blessing for the time being, even if it is a material benefit we're seeking, we should pray. Because if we pray to the Lord, he will teach us and guide us. We are reminded And I was reminded by this story that God far exceeds our expectations. This story reminded me of the importance of praying to the Lord God and Jesus for blessings for us and our children, no matter what it is. Whatever it is where the blessing begins. God's blessings begins there. In Mark 10, the other passage we read earlier, we read the people brought their children to touch Jesus. The people may have had selfish reasons for this behavior. The disciple then either did not like their parents' prayers or they simply did not like the children, so the disciples rebuked them. Then Jesus, in turn, rebuked the disciples. Let's look at Mark 10, verses 13 to 16. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus embraced the children and laid hands on them, prayed for them, and blessed them. What kind of blessing was that? I assume that the prayers of Jesus include hopes and desires that we have, such as protections from accidents, calamities, healing from illness, material and economic wealth, winning things and having the way open to us and others. But also includes blessings that are more than that. There is a fundamental difference between what people commonly associated with a blessing and what the Bible teaches us about blessing. But at the same time, there is also some overlap between what we in the world think of a blessing and what the Bible calls a blessing. So the Bible uses the word blessing, and that may include protection from accident, disasters, material blessings. But at the same time, the Bible teaches us that these are not the essence or main body of a blessing. Apostle Paul confesses in Philippians chapter 4, the Bible ultimately states a blessing is to receive something that is the basis for being satisfied in any circumstance, whether poor, needy, rich, or contented. So what is the basis for that blessing? So let's look at Jesus' words one more time. Mark 10. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. By blessing children, Jesus here placed the kingdom of God and blessing on an equal footing. In other words, accepting the kingdom of God and entering the kingdom of God are real blessings. They are grounds for other blessings. And no matter what one's circumstances may be, Jesus blessed children so that they could accept the kingdom of God, which is the essence of this blessing. Of course, Jesus knew better than anyone what was most important to the children, which is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the most important for children. Yet the disciples did not seem to understand this very well. The disciples may have thought, "You children still have a lot of things to do and to know before you know about the kingdom of God. You are 50 years too young to know about the kingdom of God as a child." That may be why the disciples refused to take the children to Jesus. And they even interfered with them. the disciples were proud to be disciples of Jesus, but as if they were Satan's servants, they interfered with the children's coming to Jesus to receive the blessing of the kingdom of God. The disciples may have thought, no, you're not ready. Before you get to know about Jesus, you need to study. You need to pass a test. You need to get a job. You need to have a family. You take care of these, then maybe you can access Jesus Christ. That's disciples probably thought. Or it's not too late to learn more about spiritual matter after you gain more knowledge about the world, and after you learn about more about the rules and knowledge of the world, then you can come to God and meet Jesus. Maybe that's what the disciples thought. But to those who are thinking like that, Jesus said, you know, as described in Mark chapter 10, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The least that we adults can do or must do for children is not to deprive them of the opportunity for them to go to Jesus. We need to take our children to Jesus, even if it is for our selfish reasons. It is because going to Jesus and accepting the kingdom of God is a unique blessing, not only for adults, but also for children. If we want children to be blessed, we must bring them to Jesus, because they need to be embraced in His bosom. Without Jesus, the children will not be able to enter the kingdom of God, which is the basis of blessings. The children will be in all kinds of circumstances. Without the kingdom of God, they will be dissatisfied, feeling empty, and unable to rejoice with all their hearts in whatever they do. Even if we have accidents, disasters, illnesses, or things that do not go our way, if we have faith, then we will be able to enter the kingdom of God, and then everything in our lives will be a blessing. On the other hand, if we do not have any serious accidents or disaster, have not suffered any serious illnesses, and have led a type of life that people envy, but if our life is not accompanied by the blessing of the kingdom of God, then it will not be a life of blessing. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus illustrates this clearly by telling us a story of two people who are at opposite ends of this spectrum. If we look at Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. But besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even someone rises from the dead. We are living in difficult times, in an atmosphere where people do not want to talk about the afterlife, and even Christians are wishing for treasures here on earth rather than in heaven. I want to get this, I want to get that, I want to eat this, I want to eat that, I want to go there, I want to go here, I want to meet this person and that person, I want to live here and there. But if it's not in the kingdom of God, it cannot be the final and ultimate blessing. Jesus is serious about this matter. Jesus is serious about whether we can enter the kingdom of God. It is never too late to enter the blessings of the kingdom of God. In fact, the sooner you do, the better. The sooner you enter the kingdom of God, the sooner you will stop living an empty life, which has no answers and no fulfillment. Then you will enjoy the blessing of knowing the Lord in every path you take. In your Japanese history class, you may have learned about Francisco Xavier, who was the first to introduce Christianity to Japan. He said, Leave your child with me until he is 7 years old. After that, do with him as you wish. Leave your child with me until he is 7 years old. After that, do with him as you wish. Based on these words, many churches in Japan and in the world began to operate kindergartens, and they have endeavored to bring the kingdom of God into the hearts of children. Essentially, the mission of kindergarten is to plant the blessing of the kingdom of God in the hearts of children, but not to provide them with a secular education. The Bible teaches us that once we have the kingdom of God in our hearts, the rest will naturally follow. Let us look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your basket in your kneading through a kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity, and the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground in the land which he swore to your ancestor to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all these commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. The Bible says, even the blessing that all people desire, such as being better than others, winning things, becoming financially rich, and others, depend on how they connected to the true God and Savior Jesus. He dangles the items of blessings in front of us like a carrot dangled in front of a horse's eye, while explaining the importance of staying connected to God, living in the kingdom of God, and abiding in the true blessings that God offers. Lenin, who established the world's first socialist dictatorship in Russia, abused his interpretation of the words, "Leave your children with me until they are 7 years old. After that, do as you wish with him." Lenin said, "Leave your children with me until they are 4 years old, and then the seed I planted in them will never be pulled out in their lifetime." In Japanese, there is a saying, "The soul of a three-year-old continues even up to 100 years of age." I believe that we must seriously consider the true meaning of this saying and its application to our faith. When I was born, there were no adults around me who took me to Jesus to have him touch me. So I lived until I was 20 years old without knowing about the blessings of the kingdom of God. As a result of this upbringing, my goals in life were to become rich and to be popular with women. I thought that achieving these two things would make my life happy and enjoyable. And it is no exaggeration to say that I wanted to accomplish things for these two reasons. I had no other goal or purpose in life at that time. I was just a man of the flesh with no spiritual vision, who could only see that much in this world. I can only be thankful with a shudder when I reflect on the fact that if I had ended up there, I would have been in serious trouble, never knowing or tasting the main body of God's blessing and suffering a life of negative consequences in my life. The world teaches the kind of truth that is not truth. The world teaches the kind of success that is not of success. The world teaches the kind of life that is not life. The world teaches the kind of love that is not love. The world teaches the kind of freedom that is not freedom. The world teaches the kind of peace that is not peace. And the world teaches that these things will make us happy, enrich our lives, and promise the prosperity. In this world, our hearts are tempted, and we are under the illusion that these idols give us life and prosperity. And so, we are broken, placed in this broken world. So the world gives us God-like substitutes for the one true God. But liberation from these is the kingdom of God, and salvation is the blessing that comes with the kingdom of God. You know about Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon.com. He had an interview, and I read his interview. And according to this interview I read, everyone who meets Mr. Bezos asks him this same question. What will change over the next 10 years? If anything, what is it? What will change in the next 10 years? I think that the intent of the question was, you know, this world is fast changing, so we need to adjust well in order to be successful. But Mr. Bezos responded to this question by saying, the question itself is wrong. What is really important is not to know what will change, but to know what will not change. Why is it so important to know what will not change? Because if we know what will not change in 10 or 20 years, we can predict the future and prepare for that future with confidence. Bezos continued and said, I've been successful because I've focused on two things, the unchanging demands of Amazon's merchandise, Amazon's customers over the past 10 years, and even 10 years or 20 years from now, which are the two unchanging demands of customers and the distribution industry, fast delivery and low prices. There is a lesson to be learned from this. No matter what the world changes, we know something will never change. The thing that we know that never changes is the God of Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and His Word. The words of Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. The greatest thing we can do for our children today is to let them know about the one who never changes and plant His words in their hearts. Let us pray that we live a life that is not at the mercy of change, but a life that is lived in the unchanging one, His kingdom, and His blessings. Let's pray.